So we're in Proverbs this morning, and how many are getting some wisdom out of this, right? What we're talking about is Proverbs, which has 31 chapters in it. You can read a chapter a day in a month, and I encourage everybody to read through Proverbs once a year. It's incredible what it will do in your life when you read through it. The theme verse that we're looking at in Proverbs is found in Proverbs 4:7, and this is what it says. It's coming up on this screen here, and it's up there. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom, though it costs all you have, get understanding. Look at it one more time. Let's read it together. Ready? In the count of three. One, two, three. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom, though it costs all you have, get understanding. How many believe that? Now, if before this series, if I had said what the most important thing is, there, you may have been that person that said, I would have had no idea that wisdom was that important. I mean, we all understand that we needed wisdom and we would want wisdom. But if we were asked if there's one thing we wanted, it would be wisdom. Most of us may not have even thought of wisdom. And I encourage you to follow a prayer that I've been praying for years from the time I was early on in ministry was, Lord, give me the wisdom of Solomon, the anointing of Elisha, and the favor of David. And how many have been doing that? You said, I've been praying that every morning. I say, God, give me the wisdom. Go ahead, raise your hand if that's you. That's right. That's good. Encourage those who didn't raise their hand to raise their hand next Sunday. And to be praying that prayer, because you're going, the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask for it. You should ask God, and he will give it to you generously. Do you know why you're making unwise decisions? Because you're not asking for wisdom. When you start asking for wisdom, you'll start to discover that the decisions you're making will be a lot wiser, and that you'll be making decisions that other people will look at and go, wow, that's an incredible, how did you know to do that or to think that way? And you can go back to the fact, you know what, I pray every morning that God would give me wisdom. So there are times where I make decisions that I had no idea how to do it, but the Lord just directed me in it. And sometimes it even feels like you and you start to take credit for it. Right? Isn't that true? Because it almost becomes part of you. So we're going to look at the next step in wisdom and what's involved in wisdom. And this is a biggie because it deals with this five-letter word, honor. How many know we need a little bit more honor in our society? Men of honor, women of honor. And I want to take a look at this next slide. The Proverbs of Solomon, this is the first verse for 1 to 10, where we talk about that makes a case for why you need wisdom. Okay, from chapter 10 on, it tells you wisdom. It gives you proverbs of wisdom. The very first proverb it gives, it says this: a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. I love that verse. Isn't that great? And all the moms says, I'm sure you do, right? How many fathers say, yeah, I love it? And our moms are like, yeah, we get it, right? Because whenever there's something wrong, we go talk to your mother. She'll handle it. You know, there's a whole lot of relationship proverbs that you read, and this is one of those proverbs, really, that's a relationship proverb. And a fool despises the proverbs. Fools despise wisdom. They despise to be in contempt of, to scorn, disdain, to considered worthless and unworthy of honor. To dishonor is literally to despise others. Proverbs 31:31 says this. This is the very last proverb. So the first one talks about proverbs of honor. It's a proverb of honoring people. And here's the very last proverb. It says, honor her for all that her hands. How many know who we're talking about here? Is the Proverbs 31 woman, right? Come on now. If you don't know that, you need to be reading your Bibles. How many say, I need to be reading my Bible more, right? The Proverbs 31 woman says, honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. That honor is a big deal. And throughout Proverbs, it talks about honor. This last proverb is really talking about something very simple, something that we often do not do. It's about bragging on other people. We often hear the statement, they talked behind my back, right? Is there anything negative in that statement? Behind. Well, all that means is you weren't there when they were talking, right? My back, meaning you didn't even know it was happening. Your eyes weren't on it. You didn't know they were talking about you at the time, so it was behind your back because you didn't see them talking about you. Was there anything negative about that statement? Yet how many know when somebody says they were talking behind my back, we all think that was bad. Right? How many know? Immediately in our mind, we think that was bad. They were saying something negative about me if they were talking behind my back, right? Why is that? Because there's something in us, almost a default mechanism, that believes that when someone is talking behind our back, it's negative, partly because whenever we're talking behind someone's back, we're tearing them down. Right? Why don't believers tip that scenario on its head? And when we say we're talking behind someone's back, it's because we're bragging about how great they are. Why is the believer, the child of God, the bride of Christ, of which we're in the same body, we're talking about ourselves when we talk about other people in a negative way? We're part of the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And why are we tearing each other down? Why is it that Satan, we've allowed Satan to come in and to get us to see the negative in people, to see the terrible in people, to be critical of other people? Of course other people aren't perfect. If they were, you would hate them. The reality is this is an attitude, because had they been perfect, you would have hated them. And now that they got flaws, I'm going to criticize their flaws. Do you see this? Wisdom is understanding that we get the fellowship in the body of Christ with imperfect people, and I am one. And that when I sow honor to other people, I'm going to reap, but it's always going to be more than I sowed. If you want honor, you need to start sowing honor. Don't think for a moment that you can sow corn and get wheat. You would say that person's insane. Of course, in this message, you'd try to find some way to honor them than saying they were insane. We need to learn to brag on our wives, brag on our husbands, brag on our boss, brag on our employees, brag on our politicians. Wow, that did not get any response. Like I thought there would be any different response. Right? But you know what? Christians should not be seen as some of the worst Americans in this country. I would say shame on us if shame didn't come from the devil. So I don't put any shame on you. But we need to be wiser in what we say about the leaders of this country, because the Bible is still the Bible and the Word is still the Word of God. And the Word of God says to honor even those you may not agree with. Now that needed a better amen. Amen. Right? Even if you're a Democrat, the Republican, or you're beyond all of that other stuff. I mean, that's just stupid to me. I said the S word. That's right. We are not a political party. We are the body of Christ that live in the kingdom of God. Can I say this to the believers in the room? Grow up. Grow up. It's time to grow up and to be the body of Christ in a country that needs to hear about honor and love. Amen? Amen. Honor means place value, worth, and weight on something. It means to put value, worth, and weight on something. When I value it, I realize how important it is and what the importance of that in my life. And literally, we honor marriage. And I'm going to tell you right now, when we got married and we said, I do, we said, in sickness and in health, for richer and... That's right. We made a vow, not be in front of that pastor and the crowd of witnesses. We made a vow with God that we were going to, whether we went through hell or high water, whether we went through the riches of the world, pleasures of the world, that we were going to walk through something with the Lord in the middle of it. And the enemy deceives us and says, you know, it'll be better without that person. Unless you're being beaten physically, you need to work through what it is the Lord's wanting to walk you through. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, I'm asking for a lot of amens. I need some help this morning. And you're sitting there and you're saying, well, I don't know why. I'm going to preach a message on this. When you say amen, you're adding your verbal agreement with something. It not only applies in your heart where you're saying, I agree with that. You're releasing something into your life, but you're also saying to everyone else, that is God's word. When they don't want to believe it is. So here's the first thing. Honoring, next slide. Honoring begins with God's claim on that person. Honoring begins with God's claim. It's not based on how you see them. It's based on how God sees them. It's not based on how you see them. God can see you and your complete depravity and see your perfect person all at the same time. He can look at you because he created you, and he created you with a purpose. He created you for relationship. He knows exactly who you were created to be, and he sees how the enemy's deception has literally caused you to look something totally different. And God can see exactly who you are through all of the decisions you made. Don't we do this with our kids? Right? Our kids mess up, they do stupid things, they silly things, and that mama's still sitting there going, they're a good kid. Everyone else is like, they killed 30 people. They're a good kid. Because a mama sees who they are. Before all of the garbage that came into their life, she's the one that was holding that baby and saw the fruit of the potential of that child. She sees who that child could be if he could just get out of the deception of all of it. That's what God sees in each one of you. You know, a big part of this is you don't honor yourself, so you don't even know how to honor others. You've never seen it honored. You've never seen your parents honor anyone. You haven't been in an atmosphere of honor, and so you have no idea what honor looks like. And if there's a place that a person should be able to come to and see honor, it should be in the church, in the body of Christ. We need to talk in our conversation, honor people. You know, something that the Lord has really kind of spoke to me on, and it's with their kids, you know, because a lot of times we rehearse their wrongs. Isn't that true? Like when our kids mess up, they know they messed up. But isn't it amazing how as parents, we know they know that we know they know they messed up, but then we sit there and then tell them how they messed up. Like we rehearse for them everything they did wrong. How many know they don't need us to rehearse everything they did wrong? They need us to rehearse everything that they are. You say, you know what? You may have done this, but this is actually who you are. You may have experienced this, but this is who God created you to be. You may have walked that road, but this is who God wants you to become. Kids don't need to be reminded for how they failed. They need to be reminded who they are in Christ and what God wants they do. I've told this story many times, and And it's a true, when our girls were in elementary school, started very young, Mackenzie came home, I don't know, second grade, third grade. And she said she came home and her grades weren't very good. And in elementary school, they don't give very good. It's like S and C and I, you know. S means struggles. I is, you know, like her parents. She came home and she said something. I said, honey, you need to work hard. And Mackenzie said to me, Dad, I'm not smart. And I said, honey, who told you that? And what's funny, it just occurred to me, you need to have these conversations with your kids, because when God went into the garden, this is in my notes, this the Lord just kind of clicked this in my head. When God went into the garden, Adam and Eve said, we were naked. And God said to them, who told you that? Who told you that? And there are people in your life, parents, you need to be that person in your life when you hear a truth. When someone says, I'm stupid in your home, child, you need to say, who told you that? Because it ain't from God, and it's certainly not coming from us, and it shouldn't be coming from parents. And I told Mackenzie at that time, I said, Mackenzie, do you think God makes junk? You think God made a mistake? Do you think God created you with a flaw in your brain? I said, isn't you're smart, you're stupid. You're not stupid. You just need to learn to apply yourself more to what you're doing. You need to work harder at it, and you're going to discover you'll end up being smarter than everyone else in the class. She left Lakeville South High School in the top 5% of her class. Amen. Now, you say, well, that's your daughter. No, I'm talking about your kids. You're honoring your kids for who they are. You have to honor. You say, that's how you honor your kids. You don't let them get away with talking about themselves in a way that's terrible. And I'm going to tell you, God does not make junk. You may not be from here, and you may be walking in for the first time right now. And I want you to know that we don't see who you are or what you did. We see who God created you to be. People have become so guarded, they don't let anyone in, and that's exactly what Satan wants. He wants you to hide all of the things you did, so it keeps you in a prison. And the church should be the place where you can lay everything on the table and people love for you and care for you, and that's what Bethel's Rock is. A place where you can come and be open and walk in right now and just say, this is who I am. This is what I'm going through. I need help. Like the prodigal that was sitting in and eating pig pods, and he's sitting there going, what am I doing here? He says, I'm going back home, and I'm going to my father. This is a place where you can come and say, I'm going back home. I've messed up. These are things I've been involved in, and I need to change. I need God to do something in my life. Is there anyone that cares? Place where people do care, and they honor you for who God created you to be, not what you did. Amen? How many need a little bit of that? Raise your hand. Say, I need that right now in my life. Right? Because every one of us in here have dark secrets. Look around. Look around. Look at the person next to you. Say, you got a dark secret? They got a dark secret. They got a dark secret. That's a lot of dark secrets in this room. No, not me. I don't got any. Liar, liar, liar. We're not going to rehearse your sins because Jesus owns them all. Amen. Let me remind you that when God came in the garden, he looked at Adam and Eve and said, who told you that? That sin isn't keeping God away from you. That sin is keeping you away from God. God is not sitting there rehearsing your sins, because his son, Jesus Christ, owns all of your sins, past, present, and future. Even the sins of those who do not believe, he paid for those sins. Don't be a thief. Try to steal them back. We are not going to rehearse your sins. We are going to rehearse the promise. And this is the promise. It is finished. It is finished. Say it with me. It is finished. One more time. It is finished. He ain't gonna do it again. He ain't gonna run that marathon again. He's already done it. It's already paid for. Romans 8:30 says this. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Because you are standing perfectly glorified in the presence of a Savior that loves you a lot more than anything else. So here's the deal. Because God honors you, and I am the bride of Christ, and I am in the family of a God, and I live in the culture of the kingdom of God, I honor people. And when I'm walking in the kingdom of God, I walk with a walk of honor. When others around me are criticizing the boss I work for, or the company I work for, or my neighbors are criticizing the person next to me, I honor them. Doesn't mean you need to make up stuff that's obvious to everyone. It means you don't say the stuff that tears them down. You point out the things that maybe no one's talking about. Honoring people, here's number two, honoring benefits me too. Honoring people will bless you more than the one that that's receiving the honor that you're giving. It have more of an effect on us than on them. The way you treat people will bless you. The way you treat your boss and your employees, your spouse, your friends, it will determine what you receive from them. The moment you start to dishonor someone, you don't receive any. We think honor is just one of those things that good Christians do that I don't need. Honor is an enormous factor in your life. You are struggling with things in your life today because you are not honoring your parents. You know, you think, wow, Pastor James, you got a dysfunctional family. So do you. Sit there and then look at it. Look at Mark chapter 6. Look at this. Where did this man get these things? Now, this is Jesus, right? In his hometown. He says, where does this man get these things? These are the people talking about Jesus. He says, they ask, what's this wisdom that has been given to him? It's incredible wisdom that Jesus is operating in. What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother? Now, this is the part I love, because I'm convinced Jesus had a dysfunctional family. And wouldn't you, if you had the perfect person in your house that was legitimately perfect? Like, if Jesus is good at being perfect, I'm not even going to compete at him. I'm going to work at being the worst kid possible, right? So like James, they say this, because Jesus, who is this Jesus? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James? The one who tried to burn down the temple? I actually tried to do that. I set our church on fire when I was a kid. It was an accident. Or the brother of Joseph. You know Joseph, the one that's stealing from all the people when they're not looking, the Amazon packages off their... You know what Joseph did, right? Or Judas, the one that's constantly critical of everybody leaving Nazareth. Remember Judas? How is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And Simon? Can you imagine how dysfunctional this family is? Because Mary is always saying, why couldn't you be more like Jesus? And we're still saying it today. The community probably witnessed all this dysfunction and said, how can anything honorable come out of that? Come out of that place. You know, none of them really cared for Jesus. In fact, James doesn't even follow Jesus or acknowledge Jesus until after he's been crucified and raised from the dead, and he sees him, and then he becomes a follower of Jesus. And now they're looking at all of this. Now, I want to encourage you, because you may be in a place where, like, you've not honored people and you've struggled with it. Can I just make this statement? Next slide. Next slide. Well, go back to that. I want to show you this. Go Go back to that slide. Yeah. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, in his own home. Why? Because they know who he is. Jesus was perfect, and they still interpreted him through the lens of their imperfection. So when they saw Jesus, they didn't know he was the Son of God. He was just some kid that could walk on water. Right? He was dunking from the free throw line by the time he was in third grade. I mean, that was incredible, but he's just some kid. He's got weaknesses just like all of us. They saw him just like everyone else, and now he's saying he's God? Come on, right? Think about it. That they did not show him honor, and Jesus said, because they didn't see who I was, they didn't receive from me because they didn't honor who I was. What are you not receiving in your life today that you need in your life today because you're not honoring the people God wants you to honor? People that you can look at and you can point at weaknesses and you can point at their failures and you can even point at their character at times and say there are character issues there, and yet God's saying, I'm going to use the imperfect to do something in your life, but first you got to learn to honor them. Look at Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Are there any perfect parents? But it says you're to honor your parents, obey your parents, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. I remember Mackenzie told this 90-year-old lady one time, she goes, man, you must have really honored your parents really well. And I told her, yes, that's right, she did, so you better listen. You want to live, or you'll die young. We call a judge your honor, even though they may not be honorable, but we honor them for the seat that they're sitting in. Isn't that right? We need to honor people for the seat they're even in. Well, I'm not honoring them. That is not a biblical, this is where you need discernment. You need to discern between what is right and what appears to be right. And I don't know who told you this, but the Bible says you honor who sits in that seat because the seat is the seat of honor. We justify why we're not going to honor someone based on who they are. You honor the person that is in that seat. Paul wrote this when some of the worst kings and Caesars were in position. And Paul wrote, Nero, in position, he said, honor that position, even though they were some of the worst people we'd ever seen in history. Christians are different than everyone else. It's not hard. Everybody honors based on the character that they see that person in, but Christians honor people because God tells us to. Look at honor is given. Honor is given. Respect is earned, but honor is given. I'm not going to wait until you deserve it. I'm not going to wait until you earn it. I'm going to honor you, regardless of who you are or what you are. I'm going to honor you. You know, there's a thing called an honor test, and the reason I bring it up and put it on the slide is the moment you leave this service this morning, you are going to be tested with whether or not you will put into action this message. Now, I know some of you, the moment you heard me say honor, you put stuff in your ears. I saw you jamming Kleenex. And it's not, there isn't a song service happening, so you can't tell me I had it because the music was too loud, and I stuck it in there. No. Wisdom says, give them honor anyway. It is a wise person who gives honor. It is a wise person. 1 Peter 2 says this, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. Now, I want you to read that one more time. Submit yourselves for the Lord. You're doing it as unto the Lord. You're honoring because of who he is, not because of who they are. Some of you are like, man, is this seat heated? We installed heated seats. And when it gets hot in here, you know, when it's like we heat the seat up, so you feel like that's the Holy Spirit heating you up right in that moment. Just wanted to make sure that we're, some of you are like, they really did that? No. If you're not feeling heat, they may not be connected. You know, you may have to connect wires. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake, to every authority instituted among men. The authorities man puts in place, the seats of authority that man has put in place, look at here, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Right? Look at the next verse. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of people on Twitter. That's the new version in the Bible. No, silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Ooh. How many know we've all done that? Right? Live as servants of God, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and now, here's the deal. If you're a Republican, you need to honor the Democrat or the Independent. If you're an Independent, you need to honor both. If you're a Democrat, you need to honor the... You know what I'm talking about, right? First thing you need to do is shake off that identity. And say, I'm going to honor whoever's in office. I'm going to vote. I'm going to do that. I'm going to vote what I think is right. But I'm going to honor whoever's there. Not just in the presidency, but in governor and every area of leadership. Look at this. Christians should be the example of what it is to honor people. Yes. But sometimes in the church, it is an example of how we don't honor people. Because when we're because we literally view talking behind their back in a negative way. When was the last time you bragged behind somebody's back? When was the last time you lifted up people that other people were tearing down and you stopped and said, you know what, I really love this person actually. That hurts my feelings that you're talking about them in the way you're talking about because I see them in an incredible way. Do they have those? You didn't even need to bring up. You guys have absolutely exposed some of their weaknesses, but man, have you even talked about their strengths? Like, you cannot talk about a person's weakness until you know their strengths. Now, let me ask you, would you like it if someone only talked about your weaknesses? Some of you are thinking, well, I don't have any. And there in and of itself, you know, I went to a, early on in ministry, I went to a thing, a leadership thing, and it was on personality. And it went through all of the strengths and weaknesses. This is like 24 years ago. And I went through it, and they asked the question, he said, who has this score? And me and four other people in a room of 250 people stood up. And our scores were highest. So we're thinking, this is amazing. And this is what he said to us five people in a room of 250 people. He said, you guys are so messed up in the head, there's no hope for you. Here's what he said. The fact you're messed up is because you don't know your weaknesses and you don't acknowledge them. And if you don't acknowledge your weaknesses, you will never change. Stop acknowledging everyone else's weakness. Acknowledge yours and your need for everyone else and how that person has been put in your life to help complete, really. And it's like Jesus, he said this, you complete me. Actually, Jesus completed us, and this is how he did it. He gave us everyone else in this room. Jesus uses everyone else in this room as his vessel to complete who you are as a person. That you will not survive without them in your life. Do you believe that this morning? Then you should honor them. If you're going to be a culture of honor. Look at Romans 12:10. It says this: be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above your... Why? Because it'll all come back to you. It's like a boomerang. But when it comes back, it'll hit you on every side. You're wondering why people are talking behind your back. Maybe it's because you've sowed seeds of that. And you said, but I didn't sow that many seeds. Of course not. But it came back multiplied, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In the measure you use, it will come back to you in full measure. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you're thinking, I don't like this message. Honor one another. Look at this. Here's how we honor. One, we prioritize them. We prioritize them. When you go out to the eating place and someone comes in and you open the door and you say, there you go. Now, this is very hard for me because I'm in a hurry. I got things to do. I get put, but to stop and open the door and say, you go in the, and you know when you do that, like when you let someone in the buffet line, how many know what I'm talking about? They're like, they take one bean at a time. And that wouldn't be, that would, that, I mean, that's bad enough, but the peas are next. You know, it's like they're Weight Watchers counting every calorie. Harry, how many calories is that? It's like, just take them, right? Proverbs 3:9 says this: honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of your crops. How do you honor God? You tithe. You tithe, literally. Goes on, it says next, honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best, because you honor him above yourself. You prioritize him. Here's the second thing you do, is you praise them. You praise them. That's what you do. Honor has a language. It praises people, not just when they're around you. You praise them behind their back. Look at what James says. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Praise them. People give us reason why we should not honor them, but we honor them just because of who we are, not who they are. Here's the third one, protect them. You protect who you honor. When people are talking bad about them, you protect them. John 7:18 says this: he who speaks on his own does not gain honor for himself, but he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. When we honor people, we lift them up. Here's a little bit of wisdom I want to give you today. The piece of wisdom: the more I value something, the more I value from it. The more I value something, the more I value from it. Will you bow your head for a moment?